Welcome, everyone, to the Blessings of Christ on this 22nd day of August. And we're moving on into a new chapter of this year, one that brings us to the end of the summer roasting, or if you're in the land down under with a little promise of spring coming. Either way, it's a new chapter, and new chapters bring new hope, and hopefully they bring us an opportunity to just kind of put the books aside on what happened yesterday, last week, last month. It's all part of life, and we move through it. But we have been given the grace by our Heavenly Father to look over all the months of our life, all the years of our life, and know that we are greater, we are bigger than it all. We're not just a product of sequence. I think this is one of the greatest mistakes we make in life, really, whether we're balancing a checkbook, applying for a job, or trying to locate a new home, is we think that what comes next has to be the exact result of what came before. In other words, we think linear. We think in a linear way. Now, there's nothing wrong with that linear logic. It's important also. Like, for example, if you're balancing a checkbook, you do need to add up the numbers that were there. But that doesn't tell you about the total potential you have for income available. Things that can't be put down in your check ledger. Income possibilities that are floating around just waiting to be gathered up. Or debts you haven't considered yet that you need to pay. Or a dozen factors that could influence your financial possibility. Things you haven't even applied. Ideas that are in your mind or in your heart or people have shared with you. And you've just kind of set them on the windowsill. Well, that's the holistic part of your life. And the holistic part of your life is where your real opportunity exists. And that's what makes you a child of God. You know, one of the biggest differences between you and a tree is a tree is pretty much held in place by where its roots are. It comes up from its roots. It reaches for the availability of light in its area and the nutrients that are provided by the soil in which it lives. So it's pretty much a paint-by-numbers kind of existence. If there's not enough phosphorus in the soil, that tree won't get very tall. If there's other larger trees around it, it won't get very much sunlight. And there's not a whole lot of things that tree can do because it can't get up and walk. It can't negotiate for a better place in life. And it's amazing, though, how faith still works for that tree. It is amazing. It is amazing. And Yeshua pronounced a parable to that effect. And he said, he was talking to the apostles, and he was saying, you have so little faith. Look at the lilies of the valley. They have nowhere to go, and yet they know exactly what to do. And it's all by faith. They're clothed in beauty, more than the raiments of Solomon. I didn't say it verbatim, but it's basically what he said. They know exactly what to do to prosper, to be beautiful, and to be healthy all the days of their life. Now, their days are short compared to you. And they don't have the options available to you. But faith still applies. You know, even a rock continues to exist after it's broken up into pieces of soil. And even after the soil has been pounded and those particles become adamantine particles, they continue to function as participants in this universe, regrouping into other molecular structures, and it goes on and on. Faith is one of those powers which is almost as close to God as love is. Faith and love will carry you a long ways in life. But you also have many other options as a child of God. And that is to feel your way through life holistically. You've been given that opportunity to behave like Christ, think like Christ. Know that just because there's no fish in your basket now doesn't mean you can't dip the basket in the water and pull five of them up and feed your family. We can think and live and feel and love and behave that way. So when we come together on these Sunday service meetings to receive the blessings of Christ, you may not know where the answer will come from. You may just arrive and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Fill my basket. I know you can. I know I will receive. And you don't know yet what you will receive, which is why after it's all over, we ask you to go and just rest and receive, and then proceed on with the rest of your day and the next day and the next day with the faith of a child. Look around you and behold the things that appear. It might be an answer your neighbor gives you, or your grandchild speaks, from some place you would never have expected. Even something your beloved pet might do that's out of the ordinary, and it points to you looking at something you would have missed. My cat once was tearing up a magazine, and I went over to take the magazine away from him, and I looked down on the magazine page, and there in an ad was something I'd been looking for. Now, why did he do that? Not with any logical thought, not like, Mom, I've got the answer for you here. I'm going to rip the magazine until you get it. It's not like that. It's like we're in a holistic universe. And once we have prayed and our prayer has been received, it begins to work through the holistic pattern of revelation, the holistic pattern of what is available and what will come to meet our five senses as if it's a totally new discovery. But what it really is that we have been inducted into a new pattern, and we just have to wait for all the patterns to be available, all the parts of the pattern. You might compare it to a kaleidoscope, and we turn the wheel. And not everything appears instantly. There's an instant shift, for sure. But the pieces fall into place over the next few seconds or even a minute before the last pieces have fallen into place. And we're looking at a whole new array of colors and shapes. And we see different possibilities. Well, in many ways, life is a little bit like that. In the last webinar that I offered to you under the guidance and knowledgeable provision of Yeshua, we included some patterns of what's known as fractals. And fractals have been observed in every part of the natural world, and even in some parts of the, well, I hate to say unnatural because everything is natural, but non-organic world, shall we say, such as galaxies, such as rock patterns, or patterns of rivers flowing through mountains. And that is the almost mirror image of patterns repeated on larger and smaller scales. Just like the roots of a tree will be virtually identical to the way the limbs grow out on the top side of the tree. And then you pick a leaf on that tree, and it will represent, the veins of the leaf will represent the way the limbs grow on that particular species of tree. And it will be different from an oak tree to, let's say, an aspen tree or an elm tree. Well, the list goes on, or a maple tree. And we begin to wonder, these patterns are all in life. And we think that we're limited. Let's just say we were an oak tree and we had a little fungus growing on the side of the tree. And we're thinking, well, gee, how am I going to get that fungus off of that tree, off of my limb? Because I don't have an arm to scrape it off. And I don't have an axe to cut it off. How in the world am I going to get rid of it? And really, what that tree does, and it actually does do this, is that it will spread its branches wider to let more sunlight into the tree. And the sunlight will burn it off. And in spreading the limbs wider, not only does that fungus go away, but more air comes into the tree, and other little bits of fungus that were about to grow, they don't grow. And by spreading the branches wider, a whole new species of birds are attracted to the tree, and it's become a new ecological system for other animal life, and a symbiotic relationship will develop between new birds and new insects that are attracted to the tree. Just one shift of growth or change in that tree can change the entire ecology of the tree. And in changing that, it changes the symbiosis of insect to bird to other organic growth that exists on the tree. The tree is, in its own way, a whole little micro ecology, even a little universe unto itself. The animals it attracts, the birds, the insects. When I lived on the vineyard, we had a long row of giant oaks that had lined what was once a road that went probably up to a ranch house years and years ago, maybe decades ago. Well, that house wasn't there anymore, and the land had been subdivided into 25 to 100 acre parcels, and you could still see, though, through the different acreages, that row of large oak trees. We had a neighbor that was an amateur pilot. He had a small airplane. He took me up once, and from above, we noticed that row of oak trees. Well, we also noticed something else. And that is, in the long row of those oak trees, everything else was different. Everything. The grass that grew there was different. The habitats of birds in the upper limbs of the trees, it was different. everything was different. And so it came down to beside the vineyard. And I noticed that that particular side of the vineyard was different in the way it grew, in the habitat that of everything it attracted, in everything that I needed to do for the vineyard, from watering to protecting to feeding, everything close to those oak trees was different. And so why this long beginning to this blessing is I wanted to mention to you that everything in life can be a blessing, or it can be a stressor. And the choices we make in life need to be holistic in nature instead of singular. That vineyard couldn't choose where it was planted. The people who created the vineyard chose where they planted the vines, and I'm not sure they made the wisest thought about where to put the varieties of grapes in relation to the trees. But nevertheless, that's where they were. But in life, we need to think holistically. And when it comes to your healing, think of everything in your life as a potential blessing. Or if you need to change something, think of the stressors in your life and move away from them. Get them out of your life. Move near or be near as many possibilities as you can that are a blessing. Come to the blessings on Sunday. This is a given. This is a sure thing. You're going to get something from it. But because you are built to be holistic, you will need to add to that with everything else in your life. Share the blessings with your friends and allow the blessings to lead you into more blessings. Allow yourself to be led and conditioned and supplied by everything that comes from these blessings, because surely they will lead you. They will surround you. And they will open doors for you and take you to new vistas where you will find more of what you need and move away from those things that are not giving you the supplies that you want, that are perhaps draining you or moving you into deserts that you do not need to live in. So be aware of the holistic nature of life. And I think that's one of the greatest things you can learn and harvest from the Sunday blessings, is that quality of awareness, the quality of awareness that you are here now in a community that supports you on all, from all directions. It's a 365-degree community, and you're a 360-degree person. Not only that, you're spherical. You're not just a silver dollar 360 degrees. You're an orb of gold, a sphere that has infinite possibilities from which you can draw. I discussed this in depth in my in a course I gave years and years ago when we were in Sedona. It's about the higher levels of consciousness, the whole 360 degrees of holistic consciousness that you have to draw upon, and it's still available as a webinar online. You can find it if you're interested, but I'm actually going to. I think I'll have more to offer on this subject as we go along, but I'm going to invite some of our community into the conversation because that's going to make it even more holistic. I'm opening the line to Jerome. Hello, Jerome.
Oh, well, love and blessings to you, but love and blessings to my family, too. And we have my sister's, I mean, my 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 wife's sister came from Milwaukee today, and so we are just having a family conversation that is just great between them and with me too. So the holistic part of life is just, we got to feel it today again. And thank you for the holistic part of who you are to make it help us too. And so love and blessings with everything you do, and love and blessings for your life. And I just thank you and I love you.
Oh, same here. And you know, Jerome, I just want to say it's hard to do life alone. It really is.
It is.
And that doesn't mean that at times it's not good to go into sequester or a remote place for regrouping within yourself. Yeshua went to the desert, remember. He went to the desert, he fasted, and what he was doing was getting away from the clatter and bang of too much input that was not holistic. Like a busy street in rush hour traffic. You know? You just want to pull over, go into a coffee shop, and have a smoothie or a cup of coffee, and let the traffic die down.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Sometimes life can get like that, and that's not holistic either. So, so multiplication of input is not what I'm talking about.
Right.
Not at all. We can get overburdened with too much input.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially when it doesn't hold together.
Correct. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Good, good, good. But thank you for your all of your teaching, your understanding to help and bless us with this. And blessings to you as well. And that holistic life. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to welcome Stephen on our line. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Glenda and everybody. I just wanted to share about the life of a friend who recently passed, Richard Chisholm, a man in his late 50s. Really just amazing soul, just a real bright light, high beamer type of a man. And, you know, I just want to share how he chose to, you know, exit this plane. He was diagnosed in February with cancer, and he just chose that, you know, he wasn't going to do any of the traditional treatments or any of the see any hospitals or doctors or alternative things or anything. He just said, you know what? It must be my time. I'm just going to live my life to the fullest and enjoy life. And, he was surrounded by friends, and he was, he was the kind of guy, I'll give you an example. In 2017, he traveled around to 14 different countries just with a big placard saying free hugs. So he just went around literally hugging people around the world. I mean, he was just such a joy and a bright light. And, you know, and he chose actually kind of this conscious euthanasia. I mean, he chose actually just a few days ago to be surrounded by friends and take some sort of cocktail and say goodbye to everybody. And I just want to share that as just an inspiration that, you know, even when you're diagnosed with something as dire as cancer, and if you choose that it's your time to go, you know, you can make the best of it. And he was such the example of that. So I just want to, you know, offer a blessing for Richard Chisholm's soul. He was such a shining example of a loving human being.
God bless him. God bless him. And I know he's blessing us. You know, and Stephen, thank you for bringing that up, because it's such an important subject to realize that death is not something for us to fear. There are, for a lot of people, some painful moments that precede it, emotionally painful, saying goodbye to our loved ones, and physically painful in going through the final physical disconnect. But it's a brief moment. It's a brief moment compared to the eternity of life that comes on the other side. And life is just too wonderful for us to go through it being afraid of debt. I'm facing that now in my life, not because I've been given a death sentence, but because I've been given an extended life sentence. And I'm watching my best friends go away.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. You know, it's saying goodbye is not easy on either side of the curtain. It's really, really not. Losing your mate, I've lost just about everybody in my family. And I'm losing so many of my best friends. I'm almost afraid to go on classmates.com now to see who went yesterday. And I'm finally coming to terms with it. Like, you know, it's okay. It's, you know, my name's going to be on that list one day. And it's okay. I'm here to hold the joy for them. That's my job, is to hold the joy for those who go before me. And it doesn't mean that I'm any better or any lesser. It's just my job right now is to hold the joy for everyone that goes before me, and to hold faith and hope for those who stay behind and, like me, have to grieve. And I'm finding, Stephen, that my grief comes and goes quicker, because I'm finding there's really nothing to grieve, because we had life together. We had the best of life together. And I'm here to remember for them. And I'm here to hold the memories and not let go of them until I'm ready to turn them over to somebody else. And that day will come soon enough. But I think it's going to be a few decades from now. So
yeah.
I am revoltingly healthy. That's what my doctor says.
That's good. I'm so glad to hear that. I hope you're here for many, many more decades. And it's interesting because, obviously when we're really young, we never even think about death. You know, it's out of our consciousness, basically. And then as we get older, we start thinking about more. And then finally, I think, at least for myself, I guess you finally kind of accept that, hey, without death, there's no life. Without birth, I mean, it's all part of life. I mean, so if you try and avoid death, it's like you're trying to avoid birth.
I'm actually at the point where I'm starting to look at babies and wonder if that's somebody I knew before.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
No.
I am. And it's possible. And I'm watching babies look at me like, hey, I know you. And funniest thing. If I live long enough, I know this will happen.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of a book I read once. It's called Maharaj, a biography of it's a biography of this yogi who lived 185 years old. He was, you know, one of these interesting characters who, anyway, but throughout his story in this book, he keeps connecting with, you know, different people who got reincarnated, who were in his family, you know, all of a sudden he knows that, you know, there's his mother now as a devotee, and there is his, you know, father, and there's, I mean, it's interesting, and it's really, I mean, they really know, like, oh, hi, mom, and it's a really fascinating read.
You know, I acquired that book a long time ago, and I'm still to read it, so maybe you've just sparked an interest here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but it's always fun
book.
To talk to you, Stephen. Gosh, you've always got a new spin on everything.
Ah, well, it's a blessing to be part of this community. I'm just so blessed, and thank you so much for all the amazing work that you do and for this amazing webinar again that you just put out. I thank you so much. So, yes, that's
you're
it.
Welcome.
Many
it's
blessings.
It's my privilege to do what I do, and who would have ever thought it, really? So I'll say the same to you. Some of you may be, you know, I wasn't exactly a teenager when I started doing this work. Let's see. Well, it all happened. You know, I was in my late 40s when I started doing this work. And who would have thought? And I had a very established career as an artist. I was way beyond the point of a struggling artist. I mean, all I had to do was paint a painting and it would sell. Go to a gallery and they would say, when can we do an exhibition? Because they knew they would make money. And I loved what I did. So I wasn't looking for a new career. I was looking for putting my life back together because it had burned to the ground on Christmas Day. I find it hard to even say the 19s because, gosh, it sounds like two centuries ago. It was 1989 when my home burned to the ground and took a lot of my paintings with it. Plus, it took most of my physical property with it. So, well, I was trying to put my life back together. So Yeshua took an opportunity there. He stepped in and said, well, how about you put it back together this way? And I said, okay. And the rest is history. But, you know, you're never too old to have a new life. And even if you're ready to pass on, it's never too late to have a new life on the other side. New life springs up constantly in this universe. This is a universe dedicated to new life. And that's why the springboard of the entire movement of Christianity started on Easter Day with resurrection. Had it not been for the resurrection, even the apostles would have lost faith. I'll give you proof. Yeshua said at the Last Supper, one of you will betray me. And then, after the supper was over, he said to his most faithful, trusted apostle, you will deny me three times. That was Peter. And Peter did. After the crucifixion, he was scared to death that he would be the next. And he ran. And everybody was grieving and hiding for 3 days. And only the women of the family went out. Only the women. And there's a reason why the women were not in danger. They didn't crucify the women. Women had no power. Women were kind of like indentured servants. They were owned and had no power in the society. So nobody worried about the women. So the women went out to check. They couldn't go out before the sunrise on Easter morning because of Pentecost. You know, a sacred holiday in Israel, and they couldn't break that holiday, so it had to be after dawn on that day, on Easter morning, and they went out. They just went out with essential oils and other ointments and fresh linens to bathe the corpse and to wrap him in fresh linens. They were expecting him to be dead. When he met them alive, history was changed. All of history was changed by rebirth. And it said, not just Christ has arisen. It said, you all will arise. And the whole philosophy of rebirth was born at that moment. It's what gave the apostles the courage to do what they did, the faith to do what they did, and then the understanding of everything Yeshua had taught them. It all was born on Easter morning. And from that day on, Easter morning is what was celebrated, not Christmas. Not Christmas. Christmas was the birth of a body. Easter was the rebirth of it. The example of divine and holy rebirth. So, Mary Magdalene was called the apostle to the apostles because he said, now go and tell the apostles that I'm alive. And of course she did. That was her most remembered act in the Bible, that she was the one who announced the rebirth of Christ. And from that time on, the greatest teachings, the most formative, enduring teachings of faith were made after the rebirth. So I just want to emphasize that you really, really, if you want to be a Christian, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to subscribe to any particular doctrine. You don't have to have any particular rituals that you go through. You have to believe that life is about birth and rebirth and rebirth and rebirth forever and ever and ever again. This entire universe is about rebirth. And let me give you a scientific proof of it at both the cosmic and the quantum level. We know already from Isaac Newton that the second law of thermodynamics is that the physical universe is being constantly consumed. Consumed. Every particle of spent energy is lost and consumed by the universe. It becomes dead particles. Now, after billions and billions of years, why has it not all been consumed? Well, it not only has not been consumed, it has quintupled in size. Why? Because the rebirth exceeds the consumption by more than five times. Rebirth exceeds the consumption. And it always will. We are actually in a universe that is exponentially expanding to the point that we can't keep up with the outer perimeter through the Hubble telescope. And yet, the second law of thermodynamics is still true with regard to particles. So, it's a scientific fact that rebirth is the happening thing in this universe. It's the happening thing in life. Sometimes and many times it will happen inside one chapter that we call life. Let's say the years between 1 and an estimate of 80 to 100 years. Sometimes inside that span, you could have several times of rebirth where what you become next almost doesn't resemble what you were last. And the apostles swore by the power and the essential nature of being born again. A lot of people have misinterpreted that. They didn't really understand what that was about. You can be born again in many ways, too many degrees. You could be completely reconstituted. And this is what happens to a lot of people who have near-death experiences. They go into another dimension of existence, and they come back hardly resembling who they were before. And they let go of who they were before. There are some people who go so deeply into prayer and surrender so deeply into the confession and remission of sin and failure that they emerge from that prayer absolutely cleansed, and they are a new person, literally. Not only figuratively, but literally, they are a new person to the degree family and friends hardly even recognize them. They are transformed. You can be born again in many different ways. And you become that new person. I didn't realize it, but the day after my home burned down, I was born again. And I tried to put back together my artistic career, and it wouldn't work. I really tried. I couldn't paint like I painted before. I couldn't do it. I put together what I thought were good paintings. And because I have a reputation, a gallery in California wanted to put on a show for me. And we put on a show. Not a single painting sold. None. I came back with a full car. Well, not a full car, because they kept a few, hopefully thinking they would recoup their cost for putting on a show for me. Not a single one sold. Not a one. I came back, and, what happened on the way back was another piece of history. You know, while I was putting all those paintings, while I was doing all those paintings, trying to put them together for the show, Ryan was watching me struggle, and he kept saying, Glenna, you're not going to do it. It's not going to work for you. I told you I had a dream. You're supposed to paint Christ. And I said, Brian, leave me alone. You're just trying to pay for all of our past failures that might have burned down in that fire. You're just trying to do something good for me that will redeem my life. Just let go of it. Well, on the way back, I got the idea, well, maybe he had a point. And I said, okay, Brian, I'm going to give it a go. And that's when everything started happening. And I had my first visions on the desert. And my first overnight stay in Sedona, where I woke up like a new person. And on the desert, I began to have these visions. And then I went home, and I tried to pray it away. I wanted to get back to my old life, but my old life was gone. Really, it was gone. And I tried to pray it away. I tried to pray and get it back, but it wasn't coming back. And Yeshua showed up for me in that light on December 23rd, the famous day in my life when all of this began and a new life was born. So, you know, that's another example of how a new life can be born. There's a lot of ways it can happen, but rebirth is the way of the universe. Some people spontaneously heal from a death sentence. They were supposed to die. They were in stage 4 cancer. All of a sudden, spontaneous healing. They're into a new life. Some people have that death sentence, and they have to go through it because their new life requires a new body. It's as simple as that. It requires first a vacation in heaven, a regrouping of purpose, a regrouping of a way to see life differently, a rediscovery of inner ability, and a new body and a new family to put it all together. So sometimes a new life requires all of that. And we cheer them on, and we thank them for the life they lived, because it was a blessing to us. But as long as we keep our eyes on the new life, we are actually living and celebrating what Yeshua taught us to celebrate. It's all about the new life. Okay. I am going to take a new caller. Daniel, you're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Jean.
And oh, hi, Jean.
Hi. I would like to be put on the blessing list. I am having dental work done on Wednesday at 8 in the morning, and this is going to last for, well, quite a few hours. 5 or 6, they told me to schedule for. And I get afraid with this type of thing, and I would like Yeshua to, you know, to guide the dentist and guide the dental team and keep me calm. I think everything should go fine. But I just get anxious, and this dentist has never worked on me before, but I've known him through Rotary. He's not there now, but he's always struck me as a very kind and competent individual. So, I'd like everyone's prayers for that.
Oh, you have it. And Jean, there is nothing to be afraid of. You will go through this just fine. You truly will. And actually, you're going to have a blessing on the other side. One of the latest, and I'll just pass this on to the whole community, one of the latest and most important discoveries about mental decline after the age of 50, and it could be something just as simple as forgetting where your keys are, all the way to Alzheimer's, is that it starts with a gum bacterium. They're discovering that bacteria cultivated in periodontal disease is the primary onset of mental decline.
Oh, my.
Because
okay.
It is deadly to the brain, and it's connected through the nervous system directly up to the nose and the eyes and all the other nerves that are right conjunct to the spinal cord and the nerves leading into your brain.
So okay.
You have a blessing on the other side, and you'll get through the surgery just fine.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, and thank you.
You're welcome, and God bless you, and I know he will. I know you'll be taken care of, and you will be just fine.
Okay. Thank you. That is so good to hear, because I get anxious for this sort of thing and
well,
pray.
Just relax and
yeah.
Have faith. You're in good hands because you're in God's hands. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Mara, I'm going to open your line. We always love hearing from you. Oh, accidentally, Mara, I clicked you off. I double-clicked, and I meant to single-click. Can you come back on? Come back on. We'll be waiting for you. Just star 6 and then 1. I don't think we clicked your lines. You're still on. You're still on the line, but you're not on the queue. Well, while we're waiting for you, oh, there you are. Okay, you're on now. Hello, Mara.
Hello. Are you? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, loud and clear.
Oh, good.
And that was my fault, not yours.
Well, thank you for everything. I wanted to share some joy. My two-year-old, one of my two-year-old great-granddaughters was recently here, and I did not expect her to see her again. I had seen her a couple days earlier, and she was just a delight. And when she, and before she got on the airplane with her mother, they stopped here unexpectedly. And so my door was open to the apartment, and she opened the door, and she came in, and she walked right into the kitchen area, and she looked up at me straight forward, right into my eyes, and she said, "I'm here." And I thought, this is such a treasure that this child, this little two-year-old, seemed to me to grasp what Yeshua has been and you have been teaching us in consciousness, that this little one and the little ones that are coming in to the world now, many of them know what it took us we had to let go of a tremendous amount of information before we began to understand that I am is so important and so true. And I was just thrilled. And every time I think about her and that I am, I'm here, I think,
great.
Indeed you are, you darling. Indeed you are here. So
that's
anyway,
so
I just wanted to share that because, as you know, I consider Spiritus teachings, Yeshua's and yours, the greatest university that is on this planet. And if I'm not, and when I'm not in joy, mostly it's because I want this for everyone. So
we're doing our best.
Oh, I know. I just wish I would like to see that those books just start coming like manna from heaven.
Well, I'll tell you what the plans are. As soon as I don't want to go. I could actually put myself on the blessing call every day, but I don't need to because Yeshua's blessing me anyway. He's giving me plenty of blessings all the time. And
yeah.
I don't want to burden any of you with what I'm going through. But, you know, there have been a lot of trials that I have to get through, and I've got to get to the other side, not the other side of life, but the other side of the trials. But one of the things I really, really want to do is I want to start doing a YouTube message every day. It won't be a long one, maybe 5 minutes, but it'll be audio video, and we'll have our own channel, and people from all over the world can tune in.
And, wonderful.
Yeah, that's my goal. That's my goal. Oh. And I think I'll be there by January 1st. If prophecies are what I think they are and I get through all of these, I've got to be a hurdle jumper to get there. But I've jumped through a lot of hurdles. So, and some
yes, you've already been that for a long time.
I have, and some of them were lined with fire. So if I get through all the hurdles on January 1st, that's going to be my New Year's agenda, because I love doing these webinars, but not everybody can make the time to do them or set aside
right.
the time for study. And they do cost a little money because I've got to be reimbursed for my time. But, you know, it's nothing compared to the value of the work. I mean, it's not much more than you'd pay for a couple of books. But
uh-huh.
it's so much more than a couple of books and so much easier to do than a couple of books. But still, not
yeah.
everybody can do it. And not everybody oh. speaks English. So we're going to get the nice thing about YouTube is it does provide translation. You can convert it into text and then have the text translate. So people all over the world can get the value of these messages. And,
oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
I fully support you.
Thank you.
I will keep praying and keep you in I always do. Keep you in my prayers and my warmest thoughts. I will close with asking for a blessing for all of my dear family who are being so good to me, and for Candace who fell and
oh.
got a very bad break in her ankle. And
I'm so sorry.
Going to be laid up for 8 months, but she, or I mean eight weeks, but she did
yeah.
tell me that she called me to tell me how she was doing, and then she also thanked me for introducing her to you and your
Aww.
Teaching. So
well, I hope she's on the call. Candace, you're on my list, and you'll be in my prayers. And
oh,
I really, really can relate to being on crutches for 8 weeks. only about 2 weeks after Larry passed, I tripped over some boxes in the middle of the night, didn't realize they were there. And, of course,
yeah.
most of the people on this know I fell on my hip, and thank God I didn't break it. The doctor said, you must have bones of steel. Anybody else would be in pieces. And I said, well, yeah, I think I do. But he said, you're still going to be on crutches for 6 weeks. So, recovery, there I was. So Candace, I relate to you. You have my
Well,
heart.
Thank you very much, and thank everyone on the call. I wish to do that. It's always good to hear from everyone, and bless you very much.
You're welcome, Mara, and I certainly enjoy hearing from you every Sunday. So
thanks.
Let's keep that going.
Okay.
All right. But
thank
I think
you.
It's time, everybody. We had a good time together today. And I loved the time I could take to give you really the importance of rebirth, because that's what the blessing is all about. It's finding new ways. It's about finding new opportunities, new things coming in your life, new realizations. And that's why you have to become a blank slate after your blessing is given. Just be a blank slate and let God write something new on it. Okay? Now, for now, just relax wherever you are. If you're in a chair, put your feet on the ground, because you're going to be drawing energy up from the earth. Let your head point towards the heavens, because you're going to be pulling energy in from the cosmos. And let the center part of your body just relax into the chair, because you're going to be cycling energy around from everywhere. It's going to come into your heart, and your heart is going to reprogram it. It's going to move like the wheel of a kaleidoscope, to where you're in a new place with new possibilities. Take a deep breath that's going to expand your heart. And you know, actually, the best way to massage your heart is with deep breath. Let your lungs massage your heart. So take a deep breath and hold it, and expand some more and hold it, and expand some more and hold it, and know that you're massaging your heart. Then slowly let it out and feel that gentle touch on your heart. And a little more gentle touch on your heart. And a little more gentle touch on your heart. Until you're just depleted your lungs. And you draw in. And then your heart expands. And you're going to do it again. And you take a deep breath in. And let your lungs massage your heart. Okay, and push your diaphragm down. Massage your heart and push your diaphragm down. And doesn't it feel good when you realize you're actually massaging your heart? And a little more and a little more and a little more. Oh, wow, does that feel good? And then let it out slowly again. Massaging your heart with every little step of release again. Your heart is your lifeblood, and you're massaging it. Okay, and you feel it, and you feel it, and you feel it. Okay, now you keep doing that while I invite Yeshua in. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, elder brother to our soul and our body, who declared us to be like unto you, children of God. We know you walk among us, but we ask right now that you be closer than ever, to be with us inseparably, joined in our hearts and through every breath. We ask that you fill us with your breath, and cleanse our outflowing breath with your sacred fire. With every breath we breathe in and breathe out, we ask that you be closer and closer to us. We ask that you hear our every prayer. And you already know everyone and everything I've put on my list for you, all the people suffering in the world, all the people hungry, all the people in conflict. We pray for the day when war shall cease. We pray for the day when hunger shall end. We pray for the day when we have enough consciousness and love and genuine intelligence spread among us, that we find answers to every illness. And we find death but just a passage into new life. That it not be a frightening thing or a sense of loss. But instead, we wait for Uncle Henry to come back and start a new chapter with us. As you came back on Easter Day and have walked among us ever since. We know that you chose not to continue being physical because you need to be among all of us at all times. And in quantum space, you can do that. We release our needs to have you physically beside us because we know you're serving a greater good to be beside all of us in all times, in all places, to serve the growth and the uplifting of humanity. And as you do, we ask that you show yourself a little more, because there are so many who need to know that you're there so that their faith can be stronger, so that they know you will be beside them in their pain and their struggle, that you're there and all they have to do is ask and you will touch. All they have to do is knock and the door will open, or open the window and fresh air comes in. We ask that you help us know instinctively in our soul all the things that you taught us when you walked among us, that we may be like unto you, if not perfected, at least in progress. And with that, we thank you for being here with us, and we ask that you take us through the blessing now to receive all that we need and all that you have to offer. In your beloved and blessed name, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest. And just be a blank slate. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Because any words will activate your mind. And your mind is only history. For something new, be blank. Okay. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.